Blog Talk Radio.
The North American Wrestling Connection. For over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment. The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
a place where people are not shy about making out in public.
The grocery store?
You do that all the time?
In the freezer.
In the freezer section. That sounds great to me. Yes, love to go grocery shopping with you, yes. Right now I have my entire marriage on the line. Excuse me, Marjorie, I'm going grocery shopping with the DNA ladies. We'll be in the freezer section. The grocery store!
And that, ladies and gentlemen, may be the last time we have to hear Lacey Von Erich. Is that a good thing?
Yes.
This is not a game show. This is an internet radio show, just not your internet or your radio. Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. And tonight I have a very small cast. Some gentlemen that are taking places of those who were originally scheduled. Substituting for DJ Peckins from the Big Apple, that would be Jason Block.
Wow. I just have to say one thing. Santino and Vladimir Kozlov steal Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy's clothes?
Yes.
There were a couple of sharp-dressed men. I will give them that. And not too far from your neighborhood, Jason, we have our fine audio expert, Mr. Jim Williams.
Thank you, Nikki, and thank you, Jason, for all the plugs you give on the BS Big Show for this show, where you kindly say nice words about me and how much do I owe you. But seriously, folks, what more can I say? But Cody Rhodes was simply dashing in England on SmackDown tonight. Just dashing. And he spoke a lot of fundamental truths, as we'll get into.
As he dashed for the exit as they were throwing their drinks at him.
Yes.
But, no, this week has already ended on a wonderful note, at least for myself. I'll be finally upgrading the living room electronics.
Ooh.
As I am the proud owner of some fine, gently used electronics.
There you go. How gently and how used.
PS3
this is not the kind of show for that.
Yeah, well, the PS3 looks like it's been beaten by a baseball bat, but it runs.
I thought you would say sledgehammer in this context.
I could, but the doc's already had it mounted in his office.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's true, yeah.
But the TV, the 32-inch flat panel television will also be added to the living room for the low, low price of just under $200.
Yeah! Oh, yeah.
That works.
And
that totally works.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, will deliver, unlike an incident at this week's TNA tapings.
Oh.
Ooh.
Do tell.
Which I'm going to speak of our wonder of TNA's wondrous world champion Jeff Hardy, who apparently mixed up a fine cocktail of something or other before he went out to join the fans. Everyone had been told during the tapings that for the low, low cost of $25, they would be allowed to take pictures with Jeff Hardy. And these would have been awesome pictures, if you're into this, if you're A, a Jeff Hardy fan, and B, a belt mark, even though he came out with this hideous, hideous, graffiti purple custom belt.
Great, babe. Sorry.
No, you're fine. This thing that was designed in a bizarre, in an evening of drunken finger painting, probably brought about...
Drunken figure painting. Ah, the good old college days, huh?
Wow.
I'm sorry. The internet has already given its opinion by placing a picture of Merman from Masters of the Universe underneath, and he looks just as horrified as I did the first time I saw it.
Oh, I can imagine.
You know, I just got to say, I'm sorry. If anything could make the butterfly belt look good, this does.
I'll take it a step further. I don't mean to, bring this up, but I am the older brother to two younger brothers who are special needs. I'm convinced the people at special needs schools could make finer belts than that. By far and away. Without even trying.
That's the drunken finger painting comment.
But exactly.
As both a fan and a worker, I think this is an awesome, I think that it's awesome that your champion is willing to take the extra time and take pictures with your fans. And $25 really is a pittance, since the TNA Impact tapings are free, short of the cost of parking at Universal Studios, which is about $12.
Mm.
So, they tape their shows for the week, and Jeff comes out for that autograph session, essentially gets on the microphone and tells everybody to take their money and go buy groceries. Flips them off, blows them off, and returns to the back. The staff seemed a bit confused and off guard by this, had to go around and refund everybody's money who had paid for this opportunity. No substitutions, no replacements, just refunds, and a lot of very legitimately upset people and a handful of crying kids. This isn't how you keep business, guys. I was appalled as a fan and as a worker.
You know, and honestly, and I've been to a couple of TNA shows. And I actually went to one of the very first TNA shows at Webster Hall, I believe, in New York about 2 years ago. I believe that was where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the TNA fans and the TNA wrestlers could not have been nicer. I believe the champ was AJ Styles at the time, I think.
Okay.
I believe.
Okay.
And they did the whole $20 in the ring, or it was Kurt Angle's, one of the two. But...
Right.
I got to shake hands with Samoa Joe, and they were just signing autographs like it was nothing. Could it have been a work? Possibly. Is it a douchebag sort of mood? Hell yeah. Move? Hell yeah, it is. Not a good idea, especially with a guy who is as popular as Jeff Hardy is, even as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
True.
And this is where I was offended. TNA didn't even attempt to either make it an angle, have a whole bunch of faces just drag him back out to the ring, throw him into the ring, and then lumberjack, and have him make like he's really reluctant, fine, they paid their money, everybody come take your pictures, and while you're waiting in line, get pictures with all the faces that are surrounding the ring. They could have
done so much more with it.
Exactly. And some people, I was reading about it on the WrestleCraft forums. Yes, I know I should know better. But people were like, well, what was the big deal? Well, the big deal is the fact that you can seat about 2,000 people in the impact zone. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
At least 400 of those people would have been happy to get in line to shake hands and take pictures with Jeff Hardy. That's $10,000 that TNA apparently needs right now.
Yeah, desperately at this point, from all accounts. You know, it's interesting you bring this up, this whole situation. It's the first I've heard of it, because I haven't been kind of in the loop as much as I should be. And you know, I hearken back to a few months back on this show, Carl telling about his experience and him getting a picture with the aforementioned Jeff Hardy at a house show not far from where he lives in Louisiana. And, you know, it just boggles my mind. And honestly, it comes off like Hardy pulls a Hulk Hogan here in some respects. But I don't think Hulk Hogan would even stiff the fans to this extent. It's sad it gets to this point. Just, you know, and, you know, you mentioned the kids that were, you know, upset, I'm sure. It's mind-blowing. Yes, Jeff's got a lot of demons. Jeff's got a lot of stuff going on. But it's the people who come out make him, and they make his career. They are making him pretty much forget about all of the trials and tribulations he's going through. The least he could do, suck everything up and go ahead, do the $25 per person, you know, meet, greet, picture, autograph, whatever. But that's the kind of champion they want, I guess. I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. What I believe what they should have done is what Nikki absolutely just said. Either have a few faces come out and say, look, we'll do it. You know, have Rob Van Dam sign. Or Samoa Joe. Somebody like that. Because
a bigger name on the face side, sure.
Right, exactly. Because when I went to the July 4th show this year, mm-hmm. the July 4th weekend show at the Brooklyn Cyclones Field where there were 6,000 people, there were both heels and faces there, and Jeff Hardy was signed. Of course, he was roped off in a separate area, but he signed, and he was happy to sign. I think this was a totally mishandled situation by the TNA management, but, you know, they've been mishandling a lot of stuff lately.
Right. I've been to a few TNA house shows myself. I've had the pleasure of having my picture taken with Kurt Angle. I was at a show where Joe and Jay were in the ring together. Mm-hmm. That was the show where my wallet fell out of my pocket and JB found it, and I swear to God he took $20 out of it. I can't prove it, but I think he got some of my money. But in any case, when you go to a TNA house show, I give them this over WWE. A lot of the faces and a couple of the heels will come out after the show, sometimes even before the show, in the arena, and walk around, talk to people, take pictures, sign autographs. It's just, you know, this is something that TNA has had has been able to do for their fans and has done so in spades. This was just absolutely boneheaded. Jeff Hardy, yes, you're supposed to play him as a heel. Great. Perfect. Fans still want to meet him. I still want to meet Alberto Del Rio. I still want to meet, you know, I would still want to meet some of the other members of Fortune. Ric Flair's been a heel most of his career. I was honored to meet him, and he was honored to meet me. And as I said, TNA is in such a bad way that they called Dixie's mama and told her to keep track of finances.
Yeah.
Is that the truth?
That's what I've heard. But again, you know, it could be news, but I think that's legit. That they've actually put her in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's, you know, just the fact that if TNA's hurting that much for money, and another going rumor is that they don't have anything scheduled past January. Now, that could be just the way they do things. But
very
I don't
well
know,
could
you know,
be.
So I'm not going to panic just yet, but they are in a bit of dire straits.
What was the prediction at the beginning of this year again? Just so I can be reminded that Jason made, I believe.
What did I say?
Did you say that TNA was going to go under by year's end?
I did say that? Wow.
I think you did. I'm not sure.
Did he say it or did I say it?
I think you did, Nikki. You
did. Might have been. I don't know. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was Nikki, I think. See, I don't remember. I'm just the audio guy.
Well, let's just say I'm almost, you know, I'm so close to that I can almost say I told you so, because you guys know, you guys remember my reaction on from the January 4th show, that having Hogan and Bischoff come in was a bad idea.
Right.
And so far, ratings remain flat at 1.1. They've spiked it here and there, but they've squandered their opportunities.
Well, TNA is at 1.2 last night, so.
Right, but their average, we can go back to 2007 in their quote-unquote glory years, and they were still pulling 1.1s. With all this name power, with all of this, with the name power and the nostalgia and the balance that they've supposedly struck within their own roster, these guys should be gaining viewership. However, they've dropped viewership in the last month. It's starting to come back up again. We'll see.
It's cyclical.
Right now. Go ahead, Jim.
No, I was just saying it's cyclical. It's just you'll peak at a 1.5 or a 1.6 and then go right back down to a 1.1 or a 1.2, and you know, those are numbers, say, the UFL would kill to have, the ultimate, whatever it is they call the UFL, I don't know what it is, but for a show that's trying to bill itself as the best, you know, organization out there and the best counterintuitive wrestling to Raw, it's not going to cut it, and only so many years they're going to do this for, and honestly, I think also to a certain extent, how MMA's blown up, and that's the big attraction on Spike, that's hurt them, I'm sure, as well, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And now TNA has this problem of should I stay or should I go now?
Great
we
song.
Do. We've had some interesting additions and subtractions and make up your minds. A report came out that Kevin Nash had re-signed, which made sense because with the old school Raw coming up, Vince McMahon would have been happy to dangle a dollar over Kevin Nash's head and say, hey, can I borrow you for a Monday night?
Yeah. What a coup that would have been.
It would have been, but apparently TNA did not sign him, according to something Jason read on his Twitter.
Yes, I will I will pull that up. Just one second. He said, of course, I should have kept it up.
Again, not the proper program for saying that, but
oh,
that's
whoops.
Okay.
Whoops! Never well. one second here.
He'll kill me later. It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
And he's going to quote.
Yeah. And I quote. Boo. Yeah.
Best beat of the business.
I did not. Thank you. I did not sign with TNA Wrestling Company. This was said on November 10th, this Wednesday. As always, I am a business. This is on his Twitter account also. As always, I am a businessman and a wrestler second. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
I am a free agent, and if I decide to wrestle again, my wife, my son, and myself will decide what's best for our family. I appreciate the support and love of my fans. Hope my decision pleases all. And he says, I go to sleep a free unsigned man. It's funny, since I haven't been owned, I sleep like a baby, up every 2 hours crying. Peace. Good night. Kevin Nash.
I always pictured him as the kind of the guy who sleeps with one eye open, hugging his pillow tight, but that's just me.
Very good, very good, yeah. I mean, you want to know something, though? Would Vince keep sign Kevin Nash? Yeah, in a second. For a little old-school pop, why not?
I think he would just hang on one-night deal on him, though, because he knows that Nash is a little fragile. You tore his quad ain't trying to answer the phone. Anyway,
he just tore it now. We just don't know. He says on his Twitter account.
But between him and then there was a big blow up on the web when word got out that Eric Young had supposedly been released. And that turned out to be incorrect as well.
But somebody who is legitimately gone is Sabu, because he was fired, storyline-wise, but they did not renew his contract.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, he's a nice enough guy. I've met him. I've talked with him on Rob's radio show. But he can't go out there and do what he used to do.
He served no purpose to them, really. I mean, he was just a fly in the ointment, and the whole EP 2.0 thing kind of crumbled by the time he got there anyway, so it was a moot point.
So he's gone. It's my understanding that Raven's gone as well.
And boy, Tommy Dreamer, he's got more bones broken than him. Good grief. He's insane.
He got busted up at the pay-per-view. I understood he broke his wrist.
No, he did not break
it.
He did not break his wrist. A nagging, nasty-looking ligament sprain.
I saw a picture of it on his Twitter account. That was one of the nastiest things I've ever seen in my life. Oh.
Do not send me a link.
That Dreamer has been working with since the live Impact before Bound for Glory. That's October 7th. So he's been working with a bruised broken ligament for a month. He is one tough bastard.
He gets the Iron Balls Award from me.
Yeah.
He's a tough guy. He's a great guy. And definitely somebody I wouldn't have standing next to me in a dark alley.
Oh, sure.
Because he'll kick his ass, but he might not even notice at first.
Yeah, exactly.
If I couldn't have New Jack, I'd go with Tommy Dreamer. Absolutely.
No, not New Jack. I don't know if he'll attack me first.
Well. And by the way, just one other thing. And of course, as mentioned earlier, Lacey Von Erich no longer with us, and the world rejoices. Yes, at least no longer with TNA.
Let's have a moment of silence in honor of the TNA tenureship of Lacey Von Erich. Was long enough. Just talk to me that part. I'm sorry.
You said moment of silence. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, wow.
I'll get you a moment of silence for Lacey Von.
There we go. Wow.
Dead anyway.
Yes.
So, now, as you all know about the certain referee that I have to sit and listen to periodically when I get a phone call from him, I'm surprised that he has not been burning up my ear over the fact that TNA has landed themselves a new referee. Now, I'm getting two stories. Is it Sharpie without his mask or Eric Bischoff's kid?
Well, according to PW Insider, yet again, it is Eric Bischoff's kid, and I will get his name for you in one second.
I'm surprised Bischoff could procreate.
No. His wife is pretty hot looking. Thanks.
Well, no, I know that. I mean, he's an ugly looking son of a gun. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Just trying to.
I just Sharkey had been working their house show circuit as a referee. They hadn't been using characters. I haven't run into him in a while.
Here's the story. Jackson James, the referee who worked the main event of Turning Point pay-per-view and screwed up, in quotes, the pinfall during the Matt Morgan, Jeff Hardy TNA championship bout, is actually Garrett Bischoff, the son of Eric, who made his TNA debut. One source told me that the younger Bischoff has been training under Brian Knobbs of late, and his identity had been kept quiet from quite a few people backstage. Whether he's revealed on the air as Bischoff's son remains to be seen. So... that's that.
Hmm.
Does being trained by Brian Knobs qualify you for anything in the wrestling business?
That's correct.
Yeah, well, there you go. Wow, yeah. We've actually spent 25 minutes talking about TNA.
That's a world record, ladies and gentlemen.
Alas, we had nothing positive to say.
Yes, but we did talk about them.
I'll give you something positive. I'll give you something positive to say about them. We just talked about the one positive, Lacey Von Erich not being there. That's positive. That's a positive, right? Yes.
TNA is having way too much fun screwing themselves up here in the States. WWE packed their bags and headed for the UK for a pair of tapings in Manchester, England, along with tours through other parts of the UK. I understand they're going to Istanbul, not Constantinople.
thank you. They might be giants, yes.
Yes.
SmackDown went to Germany, I believe, this week.
Right. But all TV was done in Manchester.
Mm.
And props to the Raw crew for actually giving us a very good show. And I am going to point a finger at Santino and say, naughty, naughty Santino, that's not very PG. Although in the States, it seems that Ginger isn't as dirty as if you had said it in the UK. Jason, you were kind of surprised when I told you that.
Actually, I wasn't as surprised. I was surprised that they actually let it through. Because for those who don't know, ginger is a derogatory term for a redhead. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if you're a redhead, it's basically, it's basically like calling someone the N-word in Britain, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you call somebody a ginger, that's cool. It has that sort of connotation, because there are not many redheads in England, and there are not many redheads around, period, you know? So the fact when he said ginger tea and the audience just went, ooh, you heard that audible. You know?
Yeah,
and then he blatantly called him ginger later in the promo, one of the smart aleck handhelds actually caught an I hate gingers sign in the crowd.
Wow.
But you also noticed while during, and by the way, this was called Santino's Tea Party, for those who didn't see it. He was trying to make amends because Santino was, you know, afraid the Sheamus would kick his behind for all the stuff that he did. So he had the tea party going. And they came out in these Savile Row suits that were just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
it's great from Grace Brothers, I hear. Yes.
And he was trying to make amends, but he called him a ginger twice. But if you watch the tape, Sheamus was about ready to explode from laughter. He was trying so hard not to break kayfabe. It was beautiful.
He wanted to laugh so hard. He just really just so wanted to laugh. And I think that's when Kozlov went ahead and just brought everything back on track.
With that, apparently Kozlov has been taking Kevin Trudeau's mega memory, because he remembers these things that Santino does not. For obvious reasons. Now, it was a great bit. It was quite possibly the highlight of the whole show. It was funny, and can I just also say, why can't the American Tea Party be like that? I'm just saying, it would be a lot more fun.
Just saying.
Let's see, politics on this show.
There we go.
Yeah,
I just
I kept my mouth way shut on that one. But it was legit funny. It was great.
Oh yeah.
It was just fun, and that's why I think Santino was just great. His comedy timing was just so awesome.
That was the most fun part of the show. We also had our serious part of the show, where I have discovered that Wade Barrett is dangerously genre savvy. He knows what's going on with Tonga, and he's well aware that he has a Starscream in his ranks. Something about it.
Hmm.
So he's pretty much been putting his foot down, usually across a Tonga's neck, and essentially just trying to get him to get back in line. It hasn't worked so far, but a Tonga's been jobbing all over the place, including directly to Barrett when it came to the tag team titles, but managed to redeem himself with just a little bit of help when he got kicked over to SmackDown and had to go face Edge.
Mm-hmm.
But since he didn't do it clean, I'm looking at you, Kane. is Barrett still looking for a way to get Otunga out of the Nexus? My gut tells me that Otunga's getting booted by Fire and Four right after Survivor Series.
Jim, I'll let you go first on that one.
Seems plausible. I was kind of having a weird feeling that Otunga would be out before Survivor Series and try to screw Barrett out of the title at Survivor Series in kind of a turn. Don't know if that's going to happen now. I thought that might have been an interesting ploy. I think your assessment's pretty on the mark. I would think, yeah, they're going to maybe push it off till after the fact. Otunga may do something stupid and boom goes the dynamite for him, and then he goes back to tucking his tail between his legs and going back to his more famous wife.
Well, I mean, what's very interesting here is that put another wrinkle in the "what will Cena do" sort of deal. If Cena, let's say Otunga tries to screw Barrett over the title at Survivor Series, will he count Orton the three in order to make, you know, Orton the champ, but be fired? Question?
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. It does put another fly in the ointment, which, you know what, right about now, the more flies in the ointment heading into the pay-per-view, the better.
Definitely. And that's why I'm still enjoying this, because I'm not a fan of Otunga's ring work. Because I really think he only has, he's added a move or two in the last couple of months, but first time I saw him work at a house show, he had three moves. Shoulder block, an elbow drop, and that horrible, horrible slam that's supposed to be his finisher. So, you know, hopefully, you know, jobbing him around a little bit, at least getting him some more ring time is probably a good thing, but I don't think he's going to be with them for too much longer.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. Conspicuous by his absence, Jerry and King Lawler was not at the tapings. He managed to injure himself somehow. Now, I understand he has a bad knee injury and that his leg is badly swollen. But Jason, you had the article. Did they say how he did it? You know, did he fall down the stairs? Did he strain himself?
This was because of an independent, let's see here. Again, I have to keep closing the window.
It doesn't involve anything with a 22-year-old girl or anything, does it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Check that off.
No.
Check that off. Just wanted to make sure.
No, I was worried he'd strain something trying to kick Cole's ass.
No, but Cole can run faster, so they're, you know.
It was a, it was an injury. It was suffered at a weekend at an independent gig that he did.
Okay.
Okay.
So yeah.
Now the other one I'd like to hear about was they were joking that Teddy Long got held up in customs.
That I have nothing.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that either. He may have just not gone on the tour. I don't know. It worked.
I got
it
a personal thing there. Yeah.
Well, it worked out okay. Vicky decided that she would finally be nice to her ex-husband, especially since the last time they were interacting, he was threatening to drag her to hell with him.
Yes, and he had the virtual orgasm in the cage, if you saw that look that he had back in SummerSlam 08.
Okay.
Sir, I was there and enjoying every second of the expressions on his face as he was in the cell of the Kid in the Candy Store.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it shit out of me when he got chokeslammed through the ring. I saw Taker kneel where he'd fallen through and was not expecting the flames of hell to erupt through canvas. Somebody needs to tell the son of Cerberus that ceremonies like that are not supposed to be done on camera. You scare little kids that way.
Yeah.
Not very PG, no.
Well, we were right on the edge of the start of the PG era, so, you know, Taker had to get it in.
Right. Yeah.
But speaking of eras, next week, WWE gets to wind the clock back.
Ah, yes.
Indeed.
And they have been teasing us with these wonderful, wonderful TV graphics that are actually still way too clean to look like early 90s style graphics. Yes, TV geek in me sees these things.
Yeah, wow.
Yes, generic italic graphics. Yes, Ariel at its finest.
Ariel, and you probably know, both of you, you and Jim, know all that stuff. And as a kid growing up in the 70s and 80s, you know, the kids today are so spoiled about HD. We had just D, you know, definition. That's it.
And it wasn't even that good.
No.
Yeah, you had little 8-bit graphics that you couldn't even read on the screen, like third and what, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
You had to keep score by listening to the damn dang, damn.
We had to get up to change the channel, okay?
Oh,
there
wow.
you go.
I mean, yes, we sound like a bunch of old farts, but yes, okay.
Yes.
I was geeking out about it just because it was old school graphics and the fact that, you know, they were trying to do the original, you know, the original style graphics, but they weren't, you know, if you see the old graphics, they kind of crackled a little bit because of the aliasing, which is way too clean in the newer digital machines and.
And of course, the old USA Network logo back from the 80s. Oh, my God.
They popped that up. And
all we need is Alan Poulter announcing.
Good Lord. And it just, and the fact, and a lot of people jumped when they saw the WWF block logo as part of the graphics for this show next week.
Sure.
They were touching on people that were likely going to show up. They were talking about it on SmackDown. And we're going to have a lot of the usual suspects. Ted Sr., Dusty Rhodes, Roddy Piper, Sergeant Slaughter.
Sheik.
Well, pardon?
Iron Sheik.
The Iron Sheik, yes, which I'm hoping that they keep that limited or we're going to end up with some really, really good Botchamania material.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I could see a great training lesson between Iron Sheik and Daniel Bryan. So. So.
By the way, I have a very quick Iron Sheik story.
Okay.
I was working an independent show in Brooklyn, and he was being, you know, inducted into this place's Hall of Fame, which had nothing in it, but even so. So the guy, so his road agent, who I happen to know, had to tell Iron Sheik where he was, which promotion he was with, and, you know, I mean, his memory's so shot, he doesn't even know where the hell he is, okay? Just to let you know, people, it's that bad.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, to really make it an old school, to really blow your minds on old school night, what would it take?
Oh, wow. Okay.
What one would make you mark out like an 8-year-old again to happen on
the wall? Wow.
That's a good question.
You want to know something? Ricky Steamboat just walking out there.
Yeah, I'd agree, especially what he did in the last couple of years. I mean, just, you know, the guy still has it. The guy can still go.
And we made sure he knew about it when they put it,
yeah,
when they put him out in the ring after WrestleMania 25.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So okay, for Jason, it'd be Steamboat. Jim, what about you?
I think I'd agree with Steamboat. I'm trying to think. Honestly, this is gonna sound trite and dumb. Some of the lesser wrestlers of the years when I was growing up in the '80s and nineties. I'll just say it. I wanna see the Goon again. I wanna see the Goon. Da, 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 da. Yeah, why not? Reject Wrestler Battle Royal again. Come on.
Gimmick Battle Royal. I would love to see that, but I don't know if I would be excited or just saddened trying to watch these old guys go.
Maybe Howard Finkel announcing for the night?
But he will be.
Yes.
Is he
going to work it? Because I know they managed to twist Okerlund's arm to come back. And
yes,
with Heenan having a DVD coming out, obviously he can't do commentary, but I would love to see him show up.
Oh, yeah.
I'd also love to see Vince and Ventura at the table.
For one match again, like that they did? That Raw,
sure,
when he guest hosted?
Oh, well, if you're gonna go to that extent, one night only, bring back Jim Ross, really, to make people mark out.
Oh, are you kidding?
That would be it. We're off to the races. It's the good days again. But he says he's likely not involved in it from his blogs on his barbecue website. So,
and we also know a few people who will not be there. Shawn Michaels said he will not be there, but he has said on many places he will come back if asked.
And matter of fact, he did earlier this week. In some
respects. He did, but not quite for that. Sure the evil doc called in a favor, as in calling his best buddy. Hopefully this time he could actually use his cell phone, and I have to go find an old corded phone to come with him.
Back calling.
Yeah. All of a sudden I get this image that Hunter on his desk has a regular phone and a bright green phone.
Are you kidding me?
My phone only connects to one person.
Wow.
Will always answer the phone if he knows that that's the call.
Hit my music!
Yeah.
He will rest comfortably.
You guys can see this. I know you can.
I can too. Yeah. He's got. I can imagine Triple H's off. You know, he's got the frame sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
you know. He's got the green phone, right?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Oh God.
and his chair is the WrestleMania 22 throne.
Yes, and of course, a second room with toys for the three girls.
Yes. Yeah, but all the toys are boys' toys because he's still expecting. So.
Oh, God. Yeah, he did a radio interview this week where he said that the fact that he had three girls was punishment for his past sins.
Yep. So anyway, he picked up the bright green phone and called Sean, and the two of them showed up in Atlanta for a press conference reunion of D-Generation X to hype WrestleMania 27, which pre-sales have already occurred. The official on-sale is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, November 13th, for those who listen to this on the podcast or on past, yes.
and if you listen to the podcast looking for the time, give up. Just give up and,
It is November 13th.
7 minutes is what I'm calling for. 7 minutes. They're sold out. Call them.
You really think they're gonna sell out 70,000 seats?
Well, between the pre-sales and everything, okay, all right, fine, 10 minutes. But you always hear about how quick they sell out, so
WrestleMania is going to sell out. It is going to sell out, and it always does. And it's amazing to see all those wrestling fans who come around the world. By the way. It's insane.
Right. Yeah.
It is insane.
And as I know you've been to at least one, Jason, because you were
20. I have
20.
Been to WrestleMania 20. It is one of the most incredible experiences. And I'm wondering if they do WrestleMania 30, they will not do it at the Garden, but they'll do it at, say, maybe the new Meadowlands Stadium or something.
That would be about all they could do. That would be something. 80,000 people there, perfect environment.
Yeah,
I've been to WrestleManias myself. I've had the pleasure of sitting very. I was fifth row at WrestleMania 23.
Did you get a chair?
I have a chair.
Wow, that's a pretty expensive ticket though.
Tickets are going for up to 4,000. This year, so.
See, that's the thing. I got mine for Face, and that was still 2 months' rent.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, see, that's because, with WrestleMania 23, I'll tell this story. I attended a SmackDown ECW taping at Joe in the summer of 06, and they had flyers at the arena for a super-duper, uber-double-secret pre-sale. That you had like a week to figure out where you wanted your seats, and you sent them a check or your credit card information or whatever, and you mailed it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I managed to talk Vera into going and talk somebody else into going. So I put in for three tickets. A friend of mine, my referee buddy, put in for one ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to mid-October, I get a phone call saying my ticket came in the mail today. I got sixth row. I said, "That's great." He says, "Do you have your tickets yet?" And I said, "No, but I will go to my mailbox right now." I walk out to my mailbox, and sure enough, there is the self-addressed stamped envelope that I sent in with all my info.
Now, do you know it was for WrestleMania 23 or no?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I opened it up, and sure enough, there were three tickets inside, right in front of his. And the promo he cut on me because I got better seats than him was epic.
I can imagine.
But yeah, WrestleMania 27 is going to do very well for Atlanta. They've been doing the promo rounds for it. It's huge. It has become, as Triple H said in the interview, an incredible week of events with the golf tournament, the art exhibit, Access, Hall of Fame, you know, the WrestleMania Reading Challenge. It's huge.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's become, and I know you don't like sports references, it's become like a Super Bowl week where you have all the activities all around the place, and it adds to it and brings tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of millions of dollars into the host city of WrestleMania. Hence, they do it up big, and now pretty much the standard fare is it's got to be a stadium or it's got to be a dome.
Right. And they were showing signs of this. I also attended WrestleMania 22 in Chicago, where it was pretty much, you had a couple things over the weekend. You had Access that would start on Saturday morning. You had the Hall of Fame Saturday night. Sunday they would continue Access, plus they had bagels by Test B. Carter's, which is my name for it, because the one we went to, who all was there? Trevor Murdoch, Orlando Jordan, Kennedy, Sherry Martel, God Love Her, God Goddard, Tom Coe, and two or three other people that either had a limited match or weren't even participating in WrestleMania. And for what we paid, we didn't even get up to, we weren't even allowed to go up there and shake hands. And I was a little upset about that. I paid over $100 for a breakfast buffet and a Q&A session, but I couldn't get pictures with these guys. I couldn't even get a handshake. Now, granted, we got some gems from the Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had a kid got up and said, "Hey, Tomko, give me a beat."
Oh, no.
Which Tomko looked down there and just flatly replied, "No." We had Orlando Jordan hugging Trevor Murdoch. We had Kennedy proving that anything can get over if you do it right. Kennedy.
Yes.
Yes.
So, but now that we've gone completely off the deep end, there was something I was trying to get to, and we just kind of went the wrong way. I wanted to mention with the WWF block logo, you know, a few people are saying, "Hey, didn't the Panda People get that banned?" And the answer is kind of. And I will read something that was sent to me. Thank you, Jason. Despite litigation, WWE is still permitted use of the original WWF block logo, which was used from 1984 through 1994, as well as the new generation logo that was used from 94 through 98. The company may still make use of the full World Wrestling Federation and World Wrestling Federation Entertainment names without consequence, meaning that they don't have to bleep that crap out anymore, so stop it. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you made making reference to that going further, the beginning from some reviews I've read online, the beginning of Raw DVD set, the only little minor adjustments they make, to my knowledge, is subtly dubbing E in where F is when people say WWF. That's it. So everything else is pristine, just about as when it first aired 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which is possible.
Well, I understand all the nonsense they have to go through with all this, but I swear to God, I just, you know, the Panda Nazis really just need to get over themselves.
Panda Nazis. I love that.
God.
Yeah, enjoy that. God. Go ahead, wrap your brain around that. I'll wait.
I just did. I'm just seeing a panda in a German Luftwaffe uniform going Sieg Heil. I mean, it's just very weird.
A little square mustache between its nose and mouth. You know,
yeah.
I Kind of makes that Monty Python sketch look a little different, doesn't it?
Yeah. My mind's eye just, my brain needs a shower after that one. Wow, okay.
Great bleach in half, ladies and germs.
Bleach. Anyway, so, let's see. So, outside of that, I know that the WWE crew has been having a blast overseas, and the WWE fans over there, you lucky bastards, you've gotten to see Regal fight Daniel freaking Bryan.
Oh.
No fair. I want
pretty much.
I wanted to see that. Now, what caught a few people off guard on these shows is that Regal has contemplated, but apparently changed his mind, about retirement. His mind, his man's been at it for almost 30 years.
True.
Which is scary to think about. He had announced it at one show that he, you know, see if I got the end of that. Oh, there it is. He made a speech. It's been an incredible, wonderful, you know, crop of WWE superstars coming up. Maybe this is my last tour.
And then when everyone said that, he's like, well, I said maybe.
Yeah, he had to go out and clarify. What part of maybe? Didn't you understand out there, Sunshine?
If he goes, though, first ballot Hall of Famer, without question.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Just for the talent he's brought up to the WWE and the various promotions, just for his training and who he's trained over the years, that alone, let alone his own body of work.
Oh, don't worry. There's going to be somebody that's going to be more than happy to make sure he gets on that ballot.
Oh, yes.
And that would be the evil Dr. Levesque.
Yes.
Who, by the way, did say that he wants Abdul the Butcher in the hall.
Did he blame him? No, I don't know if the story's urban legend or not, but when Hunter was coming through, he spent a year in WCW. We've all heard the Terror Rising stories. And apparently he was getting offers from the Fed. And he actually went to Regal and said, what do you think of all this? And Regal said, go. Take advantage of it. And boy, did he.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, you know, if somebody brought up, you know, Regal for Hall of Fame, Hunter would probably say, yeah, sure, right now. Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
You know what? But good on you, man. I mean, he's been battling. He battled health issues. He battled drug problems, and also, I believe one of his the book called what? I believe it's called Walking the Golden Mile, which is his WWE book. Is supposedly really, really good.
I haven't had the chance to read it. I did have the honor of meeting him when he was doing the book tour. And he was gracious enough to sign my unscripted book, which a few people had forgotten that he even had a page in there. Because it was written about the time he had been sidelined with all of the sinus issues that led to whatever that infection was that practically killed him, the one that had put all that water weight on him.
Right.
And had taken him out of the ring for a good year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a wonderful man. He's done so much in this business and for this business. So if he chooses to hang it up now, we want him in the Hall of Fame.
First ballot.
If he chooses not to hang it up, I want my match with Daniel Bryan on Raw, damn it.
Damn right.
Agreed.
So, gentlemen, Next week is Old School. You both will be back along with Sapboy Josh Henniger and North American Wrestling Connection. We'll be doing its own little taste of Old School. I'm trying to warn you. So,
it's going to be vintage.
Good night already.
Good night.
Night all.
Jim, thank you for jumping in on short notice.
Whoops.
I'm alone. I must go.